Hey, dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Venture Maidens. This show is brought to you by our incredible sponsor, Loot Crate, our generous donors to our Patreon account, and Don't Split the Podcast Network. Speaking of which, check out this sweet ad for another DSPN show, then we'll jump right into the story. Thanks, venturers.
Hey, I'm James Intercasso, the host of Tabletop Babble, a chat show all about tabletop role-playing games right here on the Don't Split the Podcast Network. I have great interviews with big-name designers like Mike Merles, lead designer of 5th Edition D&D, Rob Schwalb, creator of Shadow of the Demon Lord, and Ruth Tillman of Cthulhu Confidential. We also talk advice, news, and reviews with some of the most informed game masters and players around like Darcy Ross, Celeste Conowich, Rudy Bass, so Mike Shea, Teo Sabadia, Liz Tice, and so many more. It's basically like any chat you've had with your fellow gamers at a local friendly gaming store. We geek out about geek stuff. So come and have some fun with us on Tabletop Babble. Available at don'tsplitthepodcastnetwork.com and wherever podcasts are available for free.
Gather round, travelers, to hear our tale. This week, our maidens find themselves in a psychedelic situation beneath the streets of Bastard's Breach. Are our heroes in for a bad trip? What monsters lurk in the winding tunnels? Will they complete their quest before time runs out? Find out in episode 18, Kara's Flying Circus.
Oh, look, we have a Brittany! Sorry, we did it. We're all here. Yee. Okay, we ready to do this?
Yes. Heck yeah.
All right, okay, we have to record it for posterity. Hey, everyone, welcome to episode 18 of the Venture Maidens podcast. I am your Dungeon Master, Celeste Conowich.
I'm your super late elven warlock, Brittany, Arnadelathil, played by Brittany Quintero.
I'm your human monk, Cyanor, played by Nassim.
And I'm Sage. I play Kara Brynhilda.
Let's go ahead and do it, guys. Let's jump into recap. What happened and what the fuck is happening?
A lot.
Yeah.
Where
did we start?
Oh, we were having our conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah, we recapped. We recapped with
each other.
You had your little powwow.
Yeah, we roleplayed a little recap our experiences in the dungeon before our visions, and then we went to the meeting with Rem and her people, and they clued us in on like a mission that's happening where?
In Bastard's Breach. Yeah, we've been clued into a little bit of what the political scenario is going on, that Bastard's Breach is a city of ne'er-do-wells and outcasts and misfits who don't align themselves with the Tsarina for whatever reason, and Kara's not from here, so she's like, I don't fucking know. I don't care. It's not my problem.
Not my problem.
Sylvan LaFleur is a dragonborn who is commanding or governing Bastard's Breach, and that the Sisters of Sorrow with Rem and all of her peeps were going there with diplomatic intentions to sign treaties or whatever.
Did you say Eladrins are the ones that... Eladrins rule the region and their dynasty is called the Mandaris?
That's what they were.
Yep. And the continent or the country that you're in, it's called the Plains.
The Plains.
P-L-A-N-E-S.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool. Word. I misspelled that, but...
Not how you would think.
Yeah. Lots of flying. And then we shared our stuff, we got our orders, and then we showed up at Bastard's Breach.
Yeah. Well, what were you supposed to do?
We're there to find their missing agent that was sent there before, Montgomery Smith.
Yes. He is a man who will present himself to us as a mid-30s to 40s gentleman, and he's been bid lost somewhere, they think in the catacombs, but they don't think he's been captured, because otherwise they would have heard that he had been captured.
Yeah, and his main mission was that he was sent to find out what's... There's something odd about how Bastard's Breach is getting its water. Because of them being an oasis out in the middle, but, like, the amount of water that they're being able to get is, like, questionable. That's what he was...
So all of a sudden, the city hasn't had water and has traditionally had a large problem with it, but now Silvar is like, come here, we are now an oasis, we have water for everyone.
Got it, yeah.
And they're like, what?
How are you doing this?
And then we got there, we left, and... Didn't we? We had already split up, and Kara did her little stone dwarf thing.
As I am an expert mason.
Wait a second. We forgot a very important thing that happened to Arnadel.
You haven't seen a dragon.
She had a moment of non-awkwardness and was like, "Hey, I'll see you when I get back," but he's got like, awkward again.
Yeah, then he's like, I think I owe you dinner, or maybe like a million dinners. And you're like,
yeah, Arnadel scored a date.
Okay.
Yes. So, okay, yes. just had to touch important. On that.
No, it's good.
Oh, and Kara got to like sneak a handhold in with Rem.
She held my hand as we were going through the teleportation portal because I was nervous.
Yeah.
So scared.
You were nervous.
My heart is all a Twitter.
It felt very nice. She has very nice hands.
They're like firm but still soft.
Strong but supple.
Got a good grip.
Yeah, so you teleported to the city of Bastard's Breach, and can you tell me a little bit about all the people you saw there?
It was all kinds of people. It was all kinds of folk and magic folk and races and things.
There's a lot of people, a long line of people to get into the city. I remember that. A lot of people dressed up in their desert garb, which I dressed up in too, because I wanted to blend in more.
Yep, so while the distraction was being made, used the Dwarven stone cutting to make your way through the city, saw all the weird architecture, and you came to that one building.
That one.
And then...
Oh, I had Detect Magic on, and I saw a blue aura in the shape of a square that reminded me of, like, light coming up from beneath a trap door. And then, Kara, you felt... So you felt that it was the oldest building in the city, right?
Yeah. It was like, we're trying to get into the catacombs, so it makes sense that there would be an entrance would be there.
Yeah. And then we hallucinated. And then we saw a weird ass creature. Tripping. Yeah, bulbous nose and yellow eyes. Sounds like something out of like Ren and Stimpy.
Yes. Okay. So you all had stepped into this old kind of squat, like Adobe style building in the middle of this. Maybe it was like a historical district or something. There weren't a lot of people walking around, and you came inside and you had your detect magic up, and this image of an outline of a trapdoor had appeared on the floor, and just as you were moving over to investigate it further, it popped open and all of this rainbow colored mist had begun to pour out of it, like steam being released from a gauge, basically. And all of you had made constitution saves. Kara was the only one who succeeded. So Nassim and Brittany, or Arnadel and Saye, you are looking at the walls of this room right now, and as the mist moves and crawls over everything, everything is glowing with these insane pulsing rainbow colors and images, and you're
Holy
having
shit.
A hard time
you're tripping.
Focusing or keeping track of anything, because the walls are moving, man, and the floor is, like, shimmering. Yes.
Now, as an alchemist, Arnadel probably would have, like, I would like to, what check could I roll to, in that moment? I'm just thinking about if I were doing this in real life. She's had experience with chemicals.
Whoa. She's real into those shrooms? I would say make an arcana check.
Okay. That's all I'm asking, is like, I feel like the Arnadel being...
Just say you want to make an arcana check.
Yeah.
I believe. You do it.
I do. That's going to be a 17.
Okay. So there is definitely something magical going on right now. And you can see that too. So it's actually worse for you because your detect magic is on, and then you're also seeing all these trippy colors. Oh, man. So not only is it just double like rainbow pulsing, but you're also getting like all these flashes of like blue and gold and all this crazy ass shit. So you're having a hard time just like looking or keeping your eyes open around you. But this looks like you've definitely heard of spells like this, maybe like color spray or illusion magic or some kind of something is being cast around you and affecting your vision.
Like
right now.
A ward? Is it?
Yeah, you wouldn't specifically identify that.
Okay.
But there's some kind of magic going on, and you're having a real hard time thinking about it because your head is now like colors are exploding.
I fall to my knees and close my
eyes. Then, Kara. You see, as all of this is happening, you see, like, this rainbow cloud of mist come out of the trap door, and you kind of, like, wrinkle your nose and, like, sneeze it off, right? And then you're looking at this trap door, right? After this initial puff of dust, you see this one, like, kind of bluish-gray gnarled hand is just, like, holding up the edge of this trap door, and you see, yeah, this bulbous little ugly face with these long pointed ears that ends in these, like, bright tufts of silver hair, and these two huge lamp-like eyes of this creature just sticking up, holding out the door, and you see in its other hand is, like, just clutched on the very edge of the rim, and it's looking at your friends who are, you know, Saya and Arnadel are kind of just looking around the room right now, and it looks at you, makes eye contact, sees that you see it, it goes, "Ee!" and then drops downwards. And there's a thud as the trapdoor closes.
I want to stab it. I immediately, like, look over at my two companions. And I'm like, guys, did anyone else see that weird, creepy little thing? And I describe it.
I can't see shit, Kara. I'm blinded.
what the fuck's wrong with you, for God's sakes?
This is beautiful.
I love Kara, everything.
I don't know about...
Listen to the trees.
This is the best mission ever.
I don't know about Saya, but I can't see anything. It's a magical spell. We got hit with something magical.
So in terms of mechanics, while you guys are affected by this, you're going to be taking disadvantages on perception checks and investigation checks.
How long does it last?
Okay, I'm gonna make one right now. Because she's, like, when she gets high, or I'm thinking this is how she would react. When she gets high, she thinks she's just, like, even better than her normal self. She's never been high before.
Yeah.
So she's, like, even though she can't even stand up, she's probably trying to do somersaults.
Good.
And I rolled just the right thing for this. I rolled a 2, just a perception check. So,
No, you are, like... My vision is the best it's ever been. And you're not only convinced of that, but all of these lights and everything, you're like, wow, I have magic seeing powers now. I'm seeing auras.
I see
smells.
So, like,
smells. I know exactly what...
Follow me. Kara, Arnadel, I will lead the way.
I don't know about that.
I'm not opening my eyes. You're going to have to hold my hand and lead me somewhere.
She immediately starts marching forward and falls on her face.
Alright, so this thing just went down the trapdoor. So,
Arnie, I mean, I just described the thing to you. Do you know what that could have been?
So, okay, real quick.
Because otherwise I'm going to find it and smash it.
Is there actually a trapdoor, or was the magical thing just illuminating?
There's actually a trapdoor that you can see now.
Okay.
You think maybe it was concealed from you before?
Okay, Kara, okay. What you described it to me, would I know? I don't know. Let me roll. What would I roll?
Let's go with a nature.
Nature. Oh, I can make a nature check.
Ew. I rolled a 3, and I don't. If I roll again, I doubt it would be much worse than that.
Yeah. Right, you're like shit, man. I don't know, like a goblin.
I'm like, I don't fucking know. I'm like irritable because it hurts,
I also rolled a 2. Oh.
You're like, fuck, man. I don't know, a goblin.
Never give up. Yeah. Never surrender. Follow him.
I'm like, And I'm like, all right, well, fuck it. We're going to go and I'm going to smash it. Hope you cook.
Yes, Carol. Okay with
that. I'm not okay with that, but I can't really do much to stop you.
All right, do you want a piggyback ride or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't carry me. Both of
somebody,
you.
Somebody carry me, please. I can't see. I'm keeping my eyes closed because it's giving me a headache.
You don't need to carry me. I will lead the way.
Okay.
Is whatever anybody opening the door?
I'm trying to open the door. Arguing. Yeah. Should I roll for that, too?
Yeah, okay. No. You can totally open the door. So it's just a shitty wooden trap door that's been left into this place. And you couldn't see it before, but now it's like, and now it's outlined in this crazy, like, blue pulsing wavy lines. And Sarah, you're actually seeing it's like arrows in your mind. They're like, point here.
I bet you think down. You can see in the dark now, too, huh?
Probably. The dark has never been more beautiful.
So as you swing open easily the lid of this trapdoor, you are looking down into a hallway of complete darkness. So the filtering sunlight. So now it's about sunset because you guys arrived. They were going to do the evening meeting. So you have until... Like maybe don't forget to you have a 24-hour time limit on this. With the streaming sunlight, you can kind of make out the shape of it. It looks like a hallway of some kind down below, so this opens up onto the ceiling, so it looks like about a 6-foot drop to a stone floor. And you can't really see beyond the outside levels. You know that there's a hallway that continues in both directions.
I'd leap in.
Okay.
Great. Do you want to try to make a athletics or a tumble or something just for...
Can it be acrobatics?
Yeah.
Do totally. I still take a minus?
Do the summers... No, you're fine on acrobatics.
Okay. Oh, fuck. Oh, this is...
It's just perception.
Well, that's a 15.
Okay, then yeah, you're fine. So you just, you know, you deftly grab the edges and hike yourself down and swing a little bit and hop down on your 2 feet.
She raises her arms. Ta-da! She does the Olympic bow.
Present to the judges. You get a 6.8 from the East Dwarven judge. Carl make an athletics to get her and Arnie down. I got an 18.
Yeah, so you just kind of muscle your way down there. So you know, get down there and like hike, and you do kind of like a bench press sort of, or not that motion, and like get down there, and then you help her.
I'm on Kara's back, man. I'm on Kara's back.
Fully impressed. I have never seen you do anything cooler. High five.
Guys.
We're high, dude. What do you want? I'm that person that's having a bad time and, like, just won't cooperate.
And as you all reach the level of this, so Kara, you have dark, Kara and Arnadel, both have dark vision, yeah?
Yeah, I have super dark vision. I can see up to 120 feet.
Cool. So that you see that this hallway, you are indeed in, it's kind of a rough-hewn stone hallway. It looks like stone that has been intentionally laid, but has been neglected or maybe falling apart for a very long time. So this is what you guess would be passages under city, maybe leading to a sewer system, something like that. So you look down in both directions, the hallway just continues onward. But as you look again to the right, you suddenly see a little bobbing light appear. Mm-hmm. And you see about 100 feet away from you, you see that it's a lantern that's swinging on a chain held by a stick by this tiny, tiny little creature that now you can see in full view, is only about 2.5 feet tall. The little gray person who had held up the door of the trap, and he's just holding the lantern out and swinging it.
I don't trust it.
Like, follow me menacingly, like, I'm gonna lead you to a trap type.
You want to make, like, an insight check?
Yeah, yes. I mean,
that would be perfect for that.
Right. I see him!
Sawyer, all you can see is the glowing light.
Okay, a light! She shouts.
I got a 14.
Your voice echoes a lot, Sawyer. 14. You're not sure. It doesn't seem to be threatening you. It's sort of looking coyly at you. Of course, it has humanoid facial features, but you're not sure what its intention might be.
Well, as soon as Sawyer saw the light, she starts walking towards it. Yeah.
Okay,
I'm gonna follow.
All right. I try to shove past Saya to walk in front.
Oh, you can see.
I feel protective, extra protective of them right now.
All right, so two of you can walk comfortably side by side in these passageways. Can you give me a marching order, please?
Well, Kara first.
Yeah.
I'm down to walk next to Saya.
So Kara is in front and Saya and Arnadel are marching. So you follow this thing, and as you do so, you notice that the creature is, like, walking backwards. So it's definitely leading somewhere. It's just kind of swinging its lantern in the light. And as it turns around, you see that it's carrying this large basket on its mm-hmm. back, and it seems to be filled with mushrooms. You can see them, like, every once in a while, one actually falls out of the basket, back of his basket, and is laying in the hall.
Do I see this in the darkness, or are we, like, in his light now?
No, so he's staying just ahead of you, so you can't see anything except the light.
I want to pick a couple of those mushrooms up and put it in my component pouch.
Totally.
Doing that. I'm going to write it down.
They're about the size of, like, the normal white mushrooms you usually get at the grocery store, except they have bright red caps on them.
Mario mushrooms.
Okay. Where's the pen?
I would like to draw my axe and be prepared.
All right. So as you continue to follow this little creature, you see that his lantern takes a sharp left, and you see that the passage curves. Do you keep following him?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, Kara, can you make a dexterity saving throw for me, please?
Is this a trap?
It is a trap! Oh, you have a sense!
Yes, I have trap sense for being a barbarian. It means that I get advantage on dex saving throws against traps and spells.
Dude, you totally get advantage on this.
Sweet! And because I have my shield feat, I get to add my shield bonus to my dex roll.
What? That's so weird. So what this is happening, so as you go and step, as you come to this corner, you feel the ground just begin to give way out from under you as this huge pit forms underneath you. So make your save.
What was it? I got a 23.
Oh.
Oh, shit. So, like, you are feel your left foot, it steps down, and the earth begins to sink away under it, and you feel the snapping of branches. And you have just enough time to, like, you reel back so you're over the edge, but you manage to, like, huck your big, like, weight of your shield and, like, thrust yourself backwards so you stumble back away from this now pit that has formed right below you.
Lucky you went you first. You hear
coming from the other side of the pit, and the thing is waving its lantern back and forth. God. And it seems to be waiting there for
what
you.
What a little bitch.
Oh, God, I hate kobolds and their stupid traps that they make.
Ugh, is it a kobold?
So I don't know what it is. I asked you, and you said you didn't know.
I tried. I'm not in a good state right now.
You can try again now that you actually see it, Arnadel. It'll be a little bit easier for you to guess.
What is this, nature?
Or arcana.
I mean, it's the same for me. That's a 15.
Okay, so you, it does sort of look like a goblin, but you know that's not quite what it is. It's, with the big lamp-like eyes and the odd coloration and the mushrooms, you think this might be some kind of fey creature. Okay. And then the lantern, too, you're recalling some kind of memory, something is coming to mind of creatures that will
lure.
Lead people, yeah, very mischievous creatures. Okay. You think the name started with, it was like Muggle, Moggle,
can't
Boggle.
Oh, a Boggle, because they, yes. So I'm like, before we follow this thing, which is on the other side of a pit, I'm like, Kara, this thing, fuck, you know what? I wish you could have gotten your hands on its grimy, nasty little neck.
No, I really don't like it. It's really ugly.
Oh, yeah, that's overbite. Way worse than it. Yeah.
Only a face of fairy queen could love.
From the Sealy Court, the Unsealy Court. Kara, I wish you could have gotten your hands around its nasty little neck. That thing is definitely going to lead us to our doom. We should avoid following it at all costs.
It's standing there on the other side, shaking its lantern at you and seeming to wait.
Saya wants to throw a dart at him.
Okay, Go for it. Roll to hit.
Oh, dropped it. So, 16. Ooh.
16. Yeah, so you, let's see. Whoa. Wow, I got a natural 20. That's weird. Okay, so you throw a dart at this thing, and it flies true, like, right for the middle of its bulbous little face between the eyes, and its big yellow eyes seem to shine even wider for a moment, and it squeaks at you, and then suddenly it throws up its hands, and you see a rainbow cloud of dust emerge up above it, and it disappears. It seemed to just sink. It's like all of a sudden it like popped into the floor.
Saya, that's gonna happen from a fey creature. I'm like, then Arnadel's thoroughly annoyed at this.
Well,
this thing, like, we can't even try to attack
and
it.
You begin,
the problem is
you
gone.
You begin to hear it.
No, this problem's not gonna be gone.
Moving
yeah,
forward.
Yeah, now back of the passage.
No,
you came
don't
from
go
now.
Forward. There's a pet. Well, I mean, forward returning the other way.
Yeah.
So you begin to hear a little laughter coming now, and it's from the other direction where you just had come from, and the thing is standing behind you now, back towards the entrance, waving its lantern aloft in front of you, beckoning you to follow.
I would like to take out my wand of secrets and wield it to find either another trapdoor or a secret passage, and it also illuminates traps.
Okay, sweet. Wow, nice. Yeah, so as you're looking at this, there's actually a trap that you see on the far, far end of the hall, so past where this other guy is. You think probably in the other corner he's also set something else up. So this passageway in front of you, a big pit has opened up, but if you're careful, you can edge around the sides and then step down that passageway to continue that way, or you could go towards the boggle, where you do see that far on the other side is another pit trap.
I tell all of you what I see. What do you want to do? I'd say we're already here. I'm down to, like, go. This creature's going to probably pop up and continue to try and annoy us and lead us to our pitfalls. So we should just ignore it and continue forward carefully.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Okay.
Agreed.
I only get 3 charges from this thing, so I don't remember how long it lasts. Do you want me to grab the book and find out?
Only 3 charges forever?
No,
or just for one day?
Until dawn.
Hmm. Okay, so you just used one to
see
the trap on the other side.
I want to see how long it lasts.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead and check. So you guys have come to this point now. If you're in a tunnel system, so you came from the east, so now you are going to be traveling south past the little trap pit.
It says the wand pulses and points at one secret door or trap nearest to you within 30 feet. So I think it just goes, lights up and goes whoop, and then stops.
Okay, so it wouldn't have pointed out the other trap because it was too far, but
now
that's
know.
Good to know.
Sorry.
It's okay. That was a freebie because I love you.
Thanks.
All right.
So we're trying to cross this pit, yeah?
Yeah, right. Yeah. So to cross this pit, I will need you all to make a dexterity because you are edging your way around a wall. So you have about maybe less than a foot worth of ground. So not to fall in.
Like
so you
a
can
dex-
like hug the wall.
22.
And, do you want a dexterity saving throw or just a dexterity check?
Just a dexterity check. 22. You're so good at this, Saya.
I know I am.
Just monking it up.
I rolled an 8.
Are you doing cartwheels down it? I guess
she's like shimmying her butt across. She's like, yeah.
Kara, what did you get?
A 14.
Okay, so Kara, you're fine as you're going through, and then Arnadel comes along, and she is just having a really hard time. And you see as she goes, a piece of earth slips under her foot, and she goes down.
Can I try to catch her?
She begins to slide. Yeah,
reflex.
Go ahead and do that.
What is that? Is that another dex check?
We're gonna call that a strength.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Oh, no. That's 11.
And then Arnadel, go ahead and make a strength to try and save yourself from falling.
Oh, no.
That's a 7.
Great. So in a series of unfortunate events, maybe it's because you guys can't really see each other that well and everything is just tripping rainbow balls as you're going. But Sawyer, you reach down and try to grab Arnadel. Arnadel tries to grab you and it's just like you slide past each other as you're going. And Arnadel, you feel yourself falling downwards and you fall for a scary like bit of time and then like fall just sprawled on very hard, rough ground.
I was hoping you would say a bunch of talking hands caught me and asked which direction I wanted to go.
Sorry, thank the labyrinth. Alright, so you are going to take 6 falling damage.
Oh, God.
Ah! As you fall, and it's like loose, jagged rocks at the bottom, so you get some cuts, bruises, and your ass really hurts. and you are now in a 10-foot deep pit.
Fuck.
Ani, are you okay? Ooh.
I got a rope of climbing. We're good.
Rope of climbing.
As Kara, when you like yell down at me, Arnadel would sit there quietly for a moment, just like frustrated as living hell that all of this is going down and she still can't see properly.
Yeah.
Knowing that this is an effect that needs to wear off and all of these things are going through her head. And she's like, you hear her sigh fully, and it's like, yeah, I'm okay. It hurts. I just want to get out of this pit.
Don't remember me like this. Okay. Remember me like you know me.
Don't put this on my tombstone. Yes. So, rope of climbing.
Woo! It's 60 feet long, and it goes wherever I want it to, and it'll stay in place. And it has, like, an AC of 20 hit points. Which it regains one hit point every 5 minutes as long as it has at least one hit point. If the rope drops to 0 hit points, it's destroyed.
Oh. Well, I mean, I'm not going to be, like, trying to chop it, so it's okay.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. If it's just, if it loses AC like, from use, or just, like, actual...
No. I think it's somebody trying to cut it.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Cool, so you bring up the rope of climbing... Your companion emerges from the pit a little bit worse for wear.
Wait.
He goes a little bit bruised.
I'm so glad you're not making me roll a strength check, because in real life, there's no way in hell I would be able to climb a rope.
No, because the rope of climbing will do it.
The rope, I can just, like tell it to pick...
Like, you just grab it, and it pulls you up.
It does. That's it does tight. Whatever I
like,
tell
it's a
it
rope escalator. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I love it.
You have your own elevator.
Why didn't we use this to cross the damn pit?
Because someone would have had to been on the other side.
Nuh-uh.
I mean...
No, it just holds itself.
It's like an immovable rod, if it were a rope. Right?
Anyway.
Well,
so you guys are on the other side of the pit. Huzzah! Tight. You survived.
That's just Arnadel speaking. She's annoyed that she fell and bruised her ass.
Yeah. Nobody likes that. Alright, so now that you're looking down at this hallway, Sawyer, by the way, now you are in complete darkness. So... I don't know how you feel about that.
Sawyer tries to, like, ignite a little fire for the inner hands.
Oh, yeah.
And a little flame.
Oh, yeah. You can totally do that.
Yep.
Right? That's your monk thing. So, yeah, you just keep your little...
Are we still tripping?
It's starting to fade now, but you still have disadvantage.
Mm-hmm. I just realized I have Dispel Magic.
Mm. Save it. We'll need it later.
That's, like, a third level spell, boo-boo. You can't save that.
I know.
That's a great spell to have, though.
I know. I've always and forever used that spell. I will never not have it.
Always prepared. You've stopped tripping and made it to mid-roll. We come to you hat in hand to ask if you haven't already, please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. It really does make a world of difference to being able to keep this show going. And if you love what we're doing here, perhaps consider becoming one of our donors. Go to patreon.com/venturemaidens to see all the sweet rewards even $1 a month can get you. Speaking of which, here is a message from one of our amazing donors, James Intricasso.
Hey there, it's your old pal Kara here. When I'm not hitting things with my axe, I'm upping my game by having my old pal Arnie read all the 5-ed resources and DM tips and tricks over at worldbuilderblog.com, because, you know, I can't read a nothing. So venture on over there for a plethora of free adventure, magic items, monsters, and more. That's worldbuilderblog.com. So what are you waiting for? Just go and do it already.
One more thing. We have a new sponsor this week that we are over the moon about. Loot Crate. Loot Crate is a monthly mystery crate that delivers the best in geek and gaming gear, from collectibles, apparel, tech gadgets, art, and other epic gear. It's like Comic-Con in a box. For you, the listeners of the Venture Maidens podcast, Loot Crate is offering an opportunity to save 10% on any new subscription at lootcrate.com. Enter promo code BRIDGE10 for 10% savings. Seriously, venturers, check it out. Every awesome t-shirt Nassim wears during our live streams comes from the glorious geekware of Loot Crate. To save 10% on any new subscription, go to trylootcrate.com/DSPN. Again, that's trylootcrate.com/DSPN to save 10% on any new subscription. Enter promo code BRIDGE10 for 10% savings. That's
so
everything.
You have your little flame,
now, let's get back to the show.
And it's not as powerful as a light spell, I believe, so, but you have a little bit, like a 5-foot glow around you enough, and your companions can clearly see and know what they're doing, so you feel comfortable. And you come to an intersection where you can go east or south.
Where we either go east, like
in the
continuing
front?
East,
I believe
where we've been going, and then turn south?
Correct.
Which way do we want to go?
Let's go south.
Can your stone cutting do anything to, like, get a sense of direction?
I never get lost underground, but...
What's that mean?
Yeah, like, do you just always know your way out, or you never forget a path you've already taken?
I guess.
Should she lead the way?
It doesn't mean I... It doesn't... Dwarves 5e.
Yeah. As you're looking at these stony passageways, a lot of this rock and its texture is very similar to the squat building that you had entered through. So you think probably all of this was built around the same time as that building?
Mm-hmm. Well,
yes.
Faya is now, she thinks she's been standing there forever, so she just starts going south.
Okay. All right. So you continue south, and then the passage snakes to the west. And you come to another intersection where you could keep going west or south.
I keep going south.
South.
Okay. So you go south and you all begin to hear the sound of voices coming from beyond you.
Like
and
talking.
Now, yeah, like talking. So as you turn the corner, it's a lot of voices. So something you might hear, the level of many people talking, having casual conversations, arguments, just large cacophony of sound. And you see now that there are torches that have been lit down this passageway. Up in front of you ahead opens a very, very large room. And you can see even from this distance that there are tents set up in there. There are people that are milling about, people sitting on the ground, children playing, a whole bunch of people. It's like a little underground pocket of world that you're looking into. Huh. So you guys are standing probably about 100 feet away from you is like the entrance to this. And you can see that this large room, it continues and moves deeper. So there's probably like a little ledge drop into the room beyond. And you can't see the edges of the walls there. It just feels like it sort of opens up.
Mm-hmm.
Like this would be one of the larger main intersections or hallways in this catacomb system.
Okay, let's...
I want to keep marching forward towards the people.
Okay.
Yeah, let's just go see what they're about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right,
so as you get closer and closer to the edge of this ledge, so you see that this, that you're standing on, the room opens up into this much larger, almost like a convention kind of sized room, and it looks like a little town that's been set up of tents, of these lean-tos, people in kind of dirtyish clothing, looking a little bit worse for wear. It looks like people have moved in here, and this is like a little settlement that has been set up. And you can see now, as you get the full scope of the room, on the far southern side, you see that there are a series of ledges that look just like the one you're walking up to. So you think maybe at one point water might have poured through the tunnel that you're in and collected in this base room that now everybody's set up in. And you also see lining the eastern side of the wall are a couple grates that are diagonally made. So, and you see some sunlight is slanting down in there. So if you remember the grates like at the base of the walls when you came in.
Ooh.
So this is sort of like a underground little place where
they got it never rains there because they get poo-poo water all over them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah. So as you walk up on these people, a couple, so a man who is dressed in like this ragged kind of cloak, he's actually sitting against the base of the wall. So when you come in, he just turns directly up to look at you. So you're like 6 feet above this guy's face and he's looking at you and he gives you this toothy kind of grin and waves.
Well, let's wave back.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hi there. Where'd you come from?
We came from the halls.
Oh, great. You want to share some bread? Like, holds up.
That's so generous.
This half-eaten kind of
loaf. Oh, I'm okay. Just, I'm full.
We gotta look out for each other here on the south side.
Aww. Thanks. Oh my god, I like this guy. Mm-hmm. I like this guy, guys. I like him.
Yeah, climb in and meet my kids.
I offer him some jerky.
You know what? I have a cat skull I can give you.
Oh my, that'd be real neat.
Yeah, here, I pull it out of my bag, and I'm like,
As he does that, a couple of the kids, like, that are running around in the streets also notice what's going on, and they, like, burst over there, so you're seeing, like, a little half-orc boy, like, dressed in this burlap sack is, like, running up to you, and then this, like, bright blue child is running over, and you're like, I don't even know. And they're sitting there and they're like, whoa, as you hand down the cat skull.
Yeah.
Like, wow, oh my god, this is a demon skull.
No, it's just a cat skull. He's going,
meow, 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 and like puts his eyes in the holes and.
Yeah, that's it.
And the kids are like, what? And they're laughing.
Oh my god, we're having a moment. Oh my god, do you guys like to read?
What? The blue one looks up at you and then says something like,
I didn't quite catch that. I only know common, elven, draconic, and primordial.
Primordial kind of rings a bell, but yeah, it's not quite the same.
It's not really. Wow. He doesn't speak water?
Primordial is the earth language, right?
I think primordial. Why did I pick primordial? It's from the elements. You can speak to elementals with primordial. So this child clearly isn't an elemental. I'm gonna, like, give them the alchemical guide that I never gave back to Thomas.
Oh, okay. So you guys imagine you're on a ledge about 6 feet above these people, right? So when you're handing them things, you're, like, bending over and, like, stretching your arms as far as they'll go. And now, like, these children are just, like, jumping up. So, yeah, you reach down with the book.
I want to jump down.
Yeah, totally.
I want to do that before I give them the book.
Yeah, and as you do that and you start to come into the room, more and more folks are starting to move over towards you or kind of take an interest in what's going on, so people are just kind of hanging back, and again, you're seeing all kinds of different people up here. These people are clearly very hesitant at your friendliness, maybe scared of you, is the impression you're getting.
Oh, okay. I mean, I just wanted to give the children a book, that's all I wanted to do.
Yeah, and the little blue girl, you're not sure, takes the book and just holds it.
Can I try to talk to her in primordial?
Okay, we need to find our way out, too.
Okay, sorry. Sorry. She's became drag me away, Sawyer.
Mother Teresa randomly in this, like, town.
Sorry. This is in character.
Arnadel relates better with children than most people,
though. So. Do I? Does she?
Apparently. So you give it the book.
Yeah.
And it just looks up at you with these big blue old eyes and just looks so grateful.
We have a moment, but then Sawyer drags me away.
Okay. So, you're like, bye, and hop back up on the thing, and all the kids are like, bye, and then the guy's like, oh, look at my demon cat.
They can probably tell us how to get the fuck out of here, or what else is that. We should go talk to those people.
There's people everywhere. Okay, we can talk to anyone.
No, I want to talk to the children. I want to talk to the children.
Okay.
Kids, we're looking for a man that's not from here. Have you seen anybody new like us?
The half-orc, he sticks out his, like, big, you know, underbite jaw, and is like, there was a guy who's coming around, he's dressed fancy like you.
Is he still here?
I don't know. We haven't seen him around. He was cool, he could do magic tricks.
Do you remember his name? Was it Montgomery?
Yeah, I think that was it. He made me this, and he goes and he holds up like a little carved wooden bird.
Aw,
that's very okay. Nice.
He said it would remind me of when I was hungry, I could look at it and then know that one day we could catch one of these again, and then it would be fine. Are you gonna live here?
No.
Like you. You can share my house.
Oh my gosh. It's over there. Thank you. What's your name?
Grutnar.
Oh, Grutnar! Grutnar, you're awesome.
Saya wants to give him a hug.
His little green skin turns a little bit red.
Oh my god. I love Grutnar.
Can I pet your dragon?
Yeah, you want to pet the dragon? I always forget that he's there.
Yes, and he's like furiously.
Cool. And then I like give, I don't have anything. I don't have anything to give to, but I pet my pseudo dragon carefully. Grutnar, we've got to go meet up with our friend.
Do you know where was the last place you saw him?
I think he said he was exploring the tunnels. He was looking for something. I don't know. He asked if we saw a door or something.
Around. Huh. Can you point us to where the tunnels continue?
Yeah, I have another book I can give you, but only if you show us the door.
He looks around the room and he looks at all the different tunnels and he like draws his eyes down and sticks out his underbite. I think he, last time I saw him, he was out that way. And he points towards the southern, or the northern wall, towards a passage that looks very similar to yours.
You guys want to go do this?
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Sure.
Okay, I turn around and I get like at eye level with Grutnar and I'm like, okay, Grutnar, this is a really special book. Okay, side note. Pause in real game. The only other book I have left is The History of Necromancy.
You were the one.
Start them young.
Should I give that to him? This child seems sweet with a bright
future. Grutnar, the necromancer.
Half-orcs don't do magic, right? That's not a thing, really. Sure.
Should I give that to him? All I have is the only other thing in my inventory are diseased animal samples.
He probably can't read.
Yeah, true.
Anyway.
Give him like a page from the book with a pretty picture on it.
Are there pretty pictures in a necromancy novel?
I'm sure there's tons of art in them old books.
Diagram of how to dig up a corpse.
I have a scholar's pack, and within the scholar's pack is usually a signet ring, right?
Yeah.
Or is that a diplomacy pack?
I think you have a signet ring.
In there? Okay. A wax seal. I'm sure I have a wax seal. I just think he'd love to appreciate a knickknack. So instead of giving a book of necromancy, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to pull out from my scholar's pack, I'm going to give him the wax seal that I would normally... I don't need this anymore. I'm not part of fucking Waterdeep.
Everything is awesome.
I never got a present before.
Well, this is my present to you.
Okay. And he like holds it and then he goes scampering off to like show a bunch of the other children.
I wink at the primordial child with the blue eyes and I'm like, use it well. And then I can speak with awakened mind, so I communicate that to the child and then let's get the fuck out of here.
The child's like, as you do so. And then, you wind your way through the tents and hovels and make your way to the northern side, where you boost yourselves up and you are entered into another tunnel. This one hangs immediately to the east. And as you keep following it, you can keep going east or you can walk to the south. And by this time, too, your magic eye thing has completely worn off. Your vision is normal again.
Thank goodness.
Aww.
East to south.
Saya's a little bummed out.
Saya's like back to normal.
Never experienced something like that before.
So what are we doing?
South?
Let's keep going south.
South.
Yeah, I'm letting you guys pick the directions. I'm happy with wherever we go.
Alright. As you go south, it becomes immediately clear to you that you will not be able to walk south for much longer. This is a larger room that looks like if the bottom half of a skyscraper or a heavy building were just sunk into the earth, that is what this looks like. So it's like a collapsed, stacked, old, old building that has the same kind of adobe style as the building above. So you see here there's smashed glass, there's like all of these big chunks of previous columns and rotting wood that have just filled this space, completely blocking this passage. So this is even more evidence so far that the system you're in is probably the oldest part of the city, and it seems like over time people have just built on top of these old kind of ruins, everything. So you're looking at kind of a slice of time right here with this collapsed building in front of you.
Cool.
Detect magic.
Sure. Bing. The building is not magical.
It doesn't. So if we can't go further, let's go back and then go east.
Yeah, down.
So as you go to the east, you have to hang a... Sorry, burp. Chris. Oh, this mic's hard lemonade. I'm regretting everything.
What are you doing? Oh my
god. Because they had watermelon flavor.
Oh, I'm so affronted right now.
I had to do. Anyway, so the passage curves to the north, and Arnadel, you are able to see this immediately, that there you come to a solid facing wall. So Saye and Kara, it looks to you just like this sudden brick wall has been put up in the middle of the space. But Arnadel, you see the signature of illusory magic flickering, creating this wall.
I got this, guys. Stand back. Dispel magic.
I want to touch the wall.
It feels like stone.
If these walls could talk.
Dispel magic doesn't work?
But to you, Kara, to your dwarven fingers, there's something wrong. It doesn't feel quite right.
It's a dispel stone.
Wait, dispel magic didn't work?
No, I'm sorry. Do you have to roll?
I don't think I have to roll. I don't have my PHB on me right now. I'm sorry.
I can reach
it. Look it up.
I think you...
I don't think I have to...
And 3.5 you had to roll, but let's see.
I don't know how to roll.
Me, said in my old ways. I can't remember what's 3.5 and what's 5th edition.
I know. 3.5 was great.
Yeah. If you haven't noticed, I ran 3.5 for 8 years, so switching to 5th ed was very hard.
Alright, so it says, choose one creature, object, or magical object within range. Any spell of 3rd level or lower on the target ends. For each spell of 4th level and higher, the target using the spell makes a check using your spellcasting ability. The DC is 10 plus the spell's level. On a successful check, the spell ends.
Sweet. So you only roll if it's above a 3rd level spell.
Correct.
Yeah.
But it has. But it if it it has to make essentially a save against my spell save DC, right?
No, you are making the save. You are making the roll against the spell.
Mm-hmm. Ah. Okay.
So you roll.
So it's that. That is a 20, a non-natural 20.
That'll do it. All right. So as you go, you feel. Yeah. So yeah, as you extend. This is the first time you've cast this, right?
Yeah.
What does it look like?
What does it look like? As I cast Dispel Magic, every time I cast a spell, I hope you guys know my eyes light up.
Obviously.
And I wave my arms around.
Your hair blows in the wind.
Yeah. A little bit. And I guess it kind of looks like, you know, whenever in Ghostbusters, they're using that thingy to, I forget the, what it's called, to suck in ghosts. It's like kind of yeah, it looks like that.
Oh, neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so as you extend your hands, you see this blue enchantment being drawn back into the tips of your fingers, and you feel that crackling sensation as like the magic returns to from whence it came, and the wall disappears in front of you, showing that the passage goes forward north for a little bit, and then it opens into a circular room. And as you all approach it, you see that there is a pit that goes downwards. And hit into the rock, so already secured, are these two long, oh god.
Ladder?
What's the thing you put? Stakes! There we go. Two stakes that have been driven into the stone edge of this pit, and you see a rolled up step ladder that is tied and neatly posed there at the top of this pit that leads down a good solid way. Yeah. All right, so you are standing at the top of this 40-foot drop. There is a rolled up step ladder in front of you. Can you all make perception checks for me, please?
17.
14.
Ooh. I got a lot.
What?
What is it?
Pull up my character sheet. 24.
Mm.
Okay, so Kara, you are the only one who hears this. You Damn. Hear a squeaking sound coming from the eastern wall. Over, so there's like a circle of stone around this pit. So it almost looks like a well that's been carved out or something. And towards the eastern wall, you hear a, hey, hello? Hello?
I bet it's that stupid fucking Poggle.
Hey, can anybody hear me?
There's something talking down at the bottom of that well, guys, and I don't like it. I bet it's that.
It sounds like it's coming from just the other side of the wall, on the same level of you, on the eastern side.
Wow, it's super quiet,
there's
though.
Something in the wall.
Oh, okay, well, let me, where, Kara? I'll press my ear against it and see if I can hear it, too.
Yeah, so you kind of point to the spot, and you shuffle your way around, like, the two-foot little area that you can stand on the ledge. And now, pressing your ear to it, hi! I know someone's out there.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hey, can you come get me?
What are you?
What?
I'm sorry,
there's a big stone wall in the way.
Okay, I use Awakened Mind. It goes up to 60 feet.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, you feel a tiny, tiny little mind just on the other side of this wall. Hi,
I'm speaking to you telepathically so you can hear me. Who are you? You have to yell, though, in return.
the voice pauses for a moment, seeming to consider this. Hi! I think if you just tap the wall really hard, I think it might be a false wall!
Okay, stand back. And then I turn around to Kara. Kara, the little tiny voice says that the wall needs to be bashed.
Oh, well, I can do that.
Okay, stand back, tiny voice. We're coming through.
Oh, okay, that's hard. You'll see why.
Careful, Kara. It sounds like it's tight quarters.
She's already running at the wall with her shield in front.
All right. So as you make contact with the wall with your shield, suddenly the rock crumbles as if it wasn't made of rock at all. It seems to be more of like a paper mache sort of disguised wall. So you come crashing through it and barreling into this tiny little room, and you just tumble down as this weird, almost styrofoam feeling rock face just shatters around you. And you see you're in what's like, it's about the size of like a large storage closet. There's a small, like, little camp table that's been set up in one corner of the room. You see stacks of provisions around it. So you see, like, a bedroll and a couple backpacks, and some things have been stored around this room as if maybe somebody was storing things here or might have stayed here. And you kind of pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and there doesn't appear to be anyone in the room. And then you hear the voice, "Hey, wise guy, I'm over here." And you follow the source of the voice, and you see sitting on the little camp table is a tiny glass bottle. So it's about the size of, like, a beer bottle. And inside of it, there's a little humanoid creature that's kind of curled up, sitting cross-legged inside the bottle. It's this tiny little gray-looking thing that's wearing a little tiny black robe, and it's knocking on the edge of its bottle.
Is everything in the room human-sized?
Yeah.
Okay.
What the shit? Arnie, what is this?
I pick up the bottle and look.
Yeah, and you see these two little eyes, these two bright, like, orange eyes looking back at you, and this, like, long hooked nose, and the creature kind of raises its finger and, like, taps the side of it, considering you for a moment.
Well, hello.
What's
your name? My name is Bartleby.
Oh, god damn it.
Bartleby? How'd you get trapped in this bottle?
Oh, I was put in here a long time ago, and, you know, our good old friend, who I presume you're seeking, left me here.
Oh, no. Montgomery.
Who's our friend? Couldn't come with him.
Who's our
friend? Yes, no. Montgomery.
Ugh, Saya, you're supposed to ask the name first. You just gave it to him.
Well, I'm excited to meet him.
Well, anyway, thank you for...
Yeah.
He is a tiny... He's definitely not a person. He looks more... I don't know if you guys want to make a nature and arcana check.
I'm going to turn my detect magic on.
Yeah.
I'll do nature.
Detect magic. Yeah. He is super fucking magical. And the bottle that he is in, it doesn't look quite like a genie. It looks like, it's a small humanoid, but it's got this pale gray skin and these long kind of pointed ears, and this big hooked nose, and it hunches over in a strange way. It almost looks like a demon of some kind. But, like, it's been miniaturized and put in this bottle. And the bottle is way more magical than the demon thing itself is. So you would guess some kind of...
Is the bottle airtight?
Yeah. It is stopped up with a lead. I wonder what would happen
if I put it in my bag of holding. The thought crosses my mind, but I see that Saya is also studying the bottle. Saya, what do you think?
Yeah. What was your nature?
Oh, 10.
Yeah. So you haven't... quite seen anything like this before. Mm-hmm. This is super new to you. Well, while you're all standing there thinking about it, I think we should be getting a move on. I'm very grateful you all freed me from here. So if you'll just take the cap off of this bottle, I think I can be of great assistance to all
perception
of you.
Check.
I'm sorry. Tiny
perception
man.
Check.
You mean insight check?
Inside.
That's 18.
This thing really wants you to let it out. But you have a sense it's not telling you something.
Why?
I'm sorry, Tiny Man. We need to have more
questions. Don't insult me by calling me a man.
Oh, actually, you know what? I am deeply sorry. I do apologize. Yeah, that Arnadel's super, heartfelt about it. Listen, you have got to...
I am one of the noble demon races. I do not appreciate being likened to the likes of mortal men.
Yeah, that's gross. I know. Totally. I'm trying to, not trying to pitch. Sorry.
Even
listen.
You, pointy-eared one, are but a child to me and my great people.
The one you
how did
in a
yeah,
jar.
So how did you get in the bottom?
Yeah.
I fell on some hard times and lost a bit.
You know what? We don't have time for this. We'll let you out later. We're going to put you in my bag, and then we...
No, don't put me in the bag. Don't put me in the bag. I can be really helpful. I know a lot of things.
Where's down there? Where does down there lead? Or where's the way to move on?
I believe that is the way to the temple, or the temple ruins. That is what Montgomery went to investigate. That was what he was here for.
Why didn't you... What bet were you placing with Montgomery?
It wasn't with Montgomery. He wasn't powerful enough to do this, obviously.
Okay, then we definitely can't let you out, because we don't want to die.
Have it your way.
I mean, but I'm down to let...
I can be of great help.
Yeah, but I know, but you might also want to fuck us over, and we just don't have time for this right now. Can I promise to let you go in a more benign situation? Listen, I'm going to reason with you a little... What's your name?
I told you, it's Bartleby.
You did, I'm sorry. This is all very over. Bartleby, I want to let you out. But we're on our first mission.
Okay.
We're on our first mission for an organization that we're really stoked about, and we can't fuck up. We're just really trying to succeed on this mission. And right now, I just don't feel right about letting you out because it might fuck up our mission.
He seems to get bored and starts picking his nose and, turns away from you in his bottle. And, kind of, thuds his head against the edge.
Yeah, Saya's going down the ladder while you're giving him this explanation.
I turn to Kara,
behind.
I look at the bottle, I'm like, okay, you're going in the bag. We'll talk later. And I put him in the bag of holding.
Wait, don't... gets caught off as he just is placed in the bag of holding. Alright, so rope ladder? Anybody?
Yeah.
You're untying it?
I mean, I'm the last to go down.
I take my rope down. I am riding my rope down. Yeah.
Real quick, before I go down.
And you are all welcome to come and join. It's 60 feet long.
Before we roll down, I want to take a cursory glance around the room to see if there are any other magical items.
There are no other magical items that have been left behind. It looks like a great deal of supplies for maybe somebody who was intending to stay for quite a while.
It is just a circular room, too, though, right? There's no other exits or entrance. Okay,
mm-mm.
Yeah.
know, this is just a very tiny little room. It looks more like somebody maybe hewed a chunk out of this rock to create this little storage closet and then kind of hid it.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's go.
So, what is the order of descent?
I'm going down first.
Then Kara.
Okay.
I'm last.
So, alright. And we're all taking the rope of climbing?
Yeah.
Well, if you want to take it, take it. I'm taking it.
Yeah, I'll take it. I like the rope of climbing.
Secure.
It saved my ass. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I trust it more than that.
Kara.
Rope. Ladder.
<Sure. laughs> Yay, we're all on the rope of climbing. This is so cute, you guys. Alright, so you're making your way downward, and you're climbing, and you're climbing, and you get to the point when it's about 20 feet, so you're about halfway there, and you notice that the well stops, and so the rest of this 20-foot drop is actually the height of the room below, so you're seeing, so imagine, like, the circle, so the well went down for, like, 20 feet, and then it's open.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. And you get down to this point, and could you all make perception checks for me, please?
12? Unnatural 20. I got an unnatural 20, by the way.
Nice. Okay, sweet. So with that unnatural 20, just before you get to the base, you're looking down at this room all around you, and that you can see... Actually, sorry. I'm sorry. You can't see.
No.
So, all right. So you don't get a perception check. So you are climbing. I wonder if we're still online.
Yeah, we're fine.
Okay.
You dropped.
You dropped.
Okay.
Yay. Thanks, Rudy.
All right, no worries. So, Saye, as you're going down, you reach this point of the rope and you see vaguely reflective surfaces somewhere below you. And, then you feel your foot hit something. That shouldn't be there, and it's like all of a sudden it gets tangled in this kind of stringy substance. And as you do so, you can't seem to pull your foot away or out of it, and you begin to hear these chittering sounds coming from somewhere around you. And so Kara and Arnadel, you both begin to hear these sounds, but you can't see anything. You just see Saye is just struggling.
I can
down
see
there.
A magical darkness.
Yeah, but you can't see whatever these sounds, where they're coming from.
It just
from
looks
your
like
vantage point up above.
It just looks like her foot's stuck on air.
Yeah. And now as you see this and she is like quivering around, you see these razor thin silks of webbing have been actually crisscrossed and laced across the bottom of this. So something has formed a network down below here. And as you're all watching, coming into view, you see these two white pincer claws make their way over the surface of this thing. And you, Saye, begin to feel this vibration ricocheting around your foot
glass.
That you can't see it. And then the two of you up top on the rope begin to see this thing come into view. It looks like sort of a scorpion mashed with a spider, and it's large, and it's coming right towards your companion.
I
want to
command.
Like, I fucking hate spiders.
I
want
to command the rope to, like, lift us all up a good, I don't know, 15 feet.
Agonizing Blast. I want to cast Eldritch Blast with my Eldritch Invocation.
Okay,
Agonizing
guys, we're gonna roll initiative.
Oh my god.
And then we're gonna do that.
I got a 10.
22.
Tight. I got a... What's 19 plus 4?
23.
23. All right.
23.
Okay, Arnadel. God, your voice when you do that. Arnadel is a 23. I'm sorry, what was everybody else?
I got a 10.
22.
10. 22. Saw, yay. Wah, 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 wah. All right. So this thing that crawls into view for you, Saya, you still can't fucking see what is coming after you. And Kara and Arnadel, you see this thing emerging and it's climbing upside down on these webs. It's not quite a spider. It's not quite a scorpion. It's like nothing you've ever seen. And it just is covered in this gleaming white exoskeleton as it's crawling through. It doesn't seem to have any eyes, but these two giant pincers that are moving towards your companion. So Arnadel, you are the first to react. So you are suspended on this rope.
Mm-hmm.
You do not have use of your hands. What are you doing?
Then I would probably need to cast, that means like, what's the word whenever you're casting a spell and you need to use your hands?
Somatic components.
What is it?
Somatic components.
Somatic.
Oh, somatic? I thought that was just verbal. Oh, no, wait.
That's verbal.
That's verbal. Sorry, that's literally verbal. All right, let me see if that is... Sorry. Oh, so it is verbal and somatic. I can't... I have to use both of my hands to hold onto the rope. I can't pull one of them away.
You can try to cast and do that. You can absolutely try to do that.
I would like to.
Okay.
I'm going to cast Eldritch Blast with Agonizing Blast, essentially.
Okay, and you're casting it at the thing coming into view?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah, and your range on that is like 100 and something feet, right?
Eldritch Blast is 120 feet.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so you go and you rocket off the thing towards this creature and roll the hit.
Sahaya is like, what do you see? What's happening?
You hear that.
I rolled sounds. A 24.
Okay, that will hit. Go ahead and roll your damage.
I have to see what my extra damage is with. So, Agonizing Blast, I get to add my Charisma modifier to Eldritch Blast. So, it definitely was above a 24. It was going to be. That's going to be crazy high. That's going to be like 30 damage. 30 to hit. Okay, so it's going to get 1d10 of force damage.
Ew. Doesn't it get 2d10 since you're 5th level? Because all of your cantrips level up with you.
You're right. It gets 2 beams.
Man. Shoot, man.
Ooh, that's 10 plus... So that's going to be 13 damage.
Oh, my poor little baby monster. So you send this bright, shining blue light out towards this thing. So you are hanging on with your one hand and, like, doing this cool, like, action-adventure thing as you're, like, throwing out this bolt. And this creature seems completely shocked by it. And, Sawyer, in the blast, this thing is illuminated in front of you. So you see this giant bug-carrion thing, like, really, really close to you now, and it's just hanging suspended upside down on its own webs. And now you see your situation as you're trapped. Your foot is just totally encased in the substance, and it is terrifying as this comes into view.
It's gonna get more damage than 13.
Okay, what
is it? It's getting 18 damage.
Yikesies.
Because I get to add my... I just wrote Charisma modifier to Eldritch Blast, but that's actually to damage, not to hit.
Owie, wowie.
Yeah, it gets 18 damage.
So you, cantrip. So Saya, the clicking becomes faster and more repetitive in your ears as this thing is, like, hit and reels itself back, and you feel the web, like, bounce like a trampoline as it's going and taking the hit of this. All right, and then Saya, it is your turn.
I want to... Okay, I don't want to lift the rope anymore. I'll actually try and do some fire damage.
Okay. You are going to take disadvantage on all your attacks because you cannot see.
Okay. Hold on. I'm trying to find my... Yep. Burning hands, yo. And now that I'm level 6, I can add more key points to do more damage and whatnot. So, hold on. Let me find that.
Okay. Wow, we're rusty on the fighting.
Exactly.
I know, we've done so much role-playing. Oh, girl, that pizza you're eating looks so good.
It is. Usually when we buy pizza, we, like, spice it up a bit with, like, cheese and meat and a bunch of other shit. So it's, like, an extra
stuff you would put on pizza.
So, what do I roll? I roll... Fuck.
For Burning Hands, you don't roll anything. They have to make a dexterity saving throw for all creatures within... A 15-foot cone.
They have to, so you tell me.
My dex saving throw for key saves? That's so what it would be, right?
Yeah, so you're safe. Yeah.
15. They have to make 15.
Okay, it makes it. So what happens? Does it take
half? Yeah, it takes half of 3d6s of fire damage.
Ah!
But at a higher level, which is what I'm doing, I use... The damage is increased by 1d6 for each slot level above first. So, is it 4?
How many key points you spend?
Is it 4d6s? That's it? That's the difference?
Yeah.
Yes.
If you're spending one, yeah.
That's it? That's a lot.
That's a shitload, dude.
5, 6, 7, 8, and... Oh, was that a... 12. No, excuse me, 14. 14 damage. So half of that, 7.
Wow. Okay, yeah. So you burst out a fire towards this thing, and as you do so, it reacts in an extremely terrified manner. That's like what Abel, it cuts it in half as it jumps backwards just to get away from your flames. As it's moving towards it, it scuttles away, and you actually begin to hear a chittering sound from the far side of you now, and in the light of the flame, you're able to see that there's a second one of these creatures hovering off in the darkness that's also chittering and reacting to this attack. All right, and then the second one that you heard off in the darkness comes bolting forward, moving at this incredible amount of speed that you wouldn't have thought possible, being suspended upside down, and it goes and it tries to hit you with its claws.
Me?
Yep.
Poor little
your
me? Foot,
your little feetsies are right there, boo-boo. What is your AC, darling?
18.
Ooh, the first swing misses you. And then the second one lands as one of these brutal white pincers closes around your thigh, fricking and sinking in to your skin.
No.
Oh, dear. Oh, no! I don't have a d6? Yes, I do. It's under my book. 5 + 3 + 3. 11. 11 slashing damage as this creature just takes a good old chunk of your thigh with it. It kind of, like, aimed for your foot, and you stuck it up, so it aimed higher with its second one, and took some of you with it. And then this attack from the one creature has inspired the other one, who has run away from you, and he's also going to be attacking you.
No.
His first claw does not hit. His second claw does hit. He goes, and you are now being double-teamed by these things.
Oop.
So that's 7 damage as it goes, and it clips at your other thigh. So now your blood is, like, coursing down, and it looks horrifying on this bright white kind of shell. Yeah. Your red blood just splatters over the top of it.
Ooh, ouchie.
And then Kara.
Ow.
Kara is suspended above everybody.
I would like, with one hand holding onto the roof, onto the rope, with my other hand, I would like to pull out my axe, and then I would like to leap onto the gross arachnid creature and plunge my axe into its disgusting, horrible
superhero
back.
Superhero landing on its back.
Yeah!
I'm so into this. It's like gonna be like an athletics to jump and like land. Yeah, let's do an athletics.
See if I can spot the landing.
And you know what? You know what I've forgotten to do this whole time? I want to give you a point of inspiration for that.
Yeah. Thanks.
Just remembering the addition rules.
I got a 21.
Whoa! All right, yeah, so you fling yourself off the rope, and in, like, slow motion, you know, you take out your axe, and you're like,
mid-air.
So you go down, and you land on this thing, and then, roll to make your attack.
Before I do that, I'll use my bonus action to rage, because I'm...
Oh, as you fly through the air? God, this is getting cool!
But if you see her face, because this is, like, the one thing she hates in her, like, what, I mean, like, dwarves hate a lot of things, but she really, really hates, like, arachnid-looking things.
Yes.
Like,
basically anything, like, Underdark-esque.
Yeah, fuck all of that. It's terrible. She hates it, and she sees it, like, coming into her, like, closer, she's like, I'm gonna fucking kill this thing.
By the way, I feel like when you rage, I feel like you emit the traditional from the whenever the first ones were made Godzilla sound. Like,
yeah. All right, so and then you're landing on the one who is already injured, yes? The one that's closer to your crane, yeah.
And I got a 21 to hit.
Yeah, girl. So you go down and you, with your massive body weight, like as you're going and moving onto this thing, you go and you hear a crunching sound as your boots make contact with it first, and then you're standing on it as you swing down your axe to chop into it and roll your damage.
Where's my d8? There it is. 13 damage.
Okay. So as you go and your boots make a crunching sound, which you see destroys some of its carapace as it's going, and you bring down the edge of your steel and hack into this thing, it just splits it in two. And all this black blood comes flying out of it. And the minute the blood makes contact with the air, you hear a sucking and a sound as suddenly fire is everywhere. And this thing's blood is exploding out in fire as it makes contact with the air.
Whoa. Tight! So, oh my god!
This causes the webbing around it to just implode into flames, and you suddenly find yourself falling as the webs have broken and you are riding this shell down, plummeting 20 feet towards the bottom of this cavern. And that's where we're ending for today!
Fuck. And we're just still suspended on the rope?
Yep. You are suspended in the middle of the rope. The webbing is broken. You have another creature with its claws sunk into you, and Kara is plummeting downwards. And there's fire everywhere.
Everything is aflame. Woo!
All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Venture Maidens. And thank you again so much. It was incredible seeing those Patreon donations come in as we were playing. And thank you, of course, to all the people who are there in chat. And we just love the hell out of you, you big goddamn heroes.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, like, for real, can we talk about that for a second? Like, that the whole purpose of doing this was definitely for fun, but then when you start having support from people who are, like, into it also, it's like, yeah. I don't have words.
We can make it better now. We can do this because we want to, you know?
We will have the technology.
We will have the you are helping us rebuild the technology.
Even beyond the whole, like, process of, like, wanting to get better stuff to produce better stuff, but, like, just the idea of it. It's just the concept and philosophy of doing something super amazing and then having people like cheerlead you in multiple ways. That's magical. That's straight up fucking magical. It's
cool as hell, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And of course, I have been your dungeon master, Celeste Konowich.
I have been your elven warlock, Brittany Quintero.
I was your human monk, Saya Noor, played by Nassim.
And I am your flying dwarf, Kara.
Kara's flying circus.
Yes.
Oh, that's the name of this episode, maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Time to go enjoy
a nice...
I'm trying nice to lead us into this.
Oh, a pineapple colada?
I thought...
Okay, venture away. We didn't say venture away.
Venture away, pineapple.
Venture away. Oh. Venture away, pineapple.
I thought it was coconut.
No, coconuts go. Okay. Pineapples not.
Pineapples stuck.
Yeah.
Oh, pineapple.
Brittany's like, I got it. I got the head.
Hey everyone, thanks so much for listening to another episode of The Venture Maidens. This podcast truly would not be possible without the support of listeners like you, so please consider leaving us a rating and review on iTunes. We love hearing from you and your thoughts, and you may just get a shout out. And if you haven't already, be sure to head over to our website, www.theventuremaidens.com, to see what else we're up to. Find us on all the social media. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Venture Maidens. And also check out www.don'tsplitthepodcastnetwork.com, our host network. They're awesome. They have some other great shows on there, like Tabletop Babble or Have Spellbook Will Travel, some awesome entertaining stuff. And we'd also like to thank our intro man, Paul Harping, and Anxious Sounds for providing our music tracks. And we'll catch up with you guys in the next episode. Until then, venture away!
Oh man, I really want to experience the magic of Dungeons and Dragons, but I'm a cave hermit who made an oath never to speak to other people again.
And I want to watch a classic fantasy series, like Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones, but I can't stand the sight of human faces.
Well, I want to relive the magic of make-believe, the humor of a preschool-aged child, and the genuine camaraderie of nearly 10 years of friendship through only my ears, but I don't know how.
You ignorant fools! You don't even know about Dames and Dragons!
What?
But Dames and Dragons? What's that? Dames and Dragons is a Dungeons and Dragons actual play podcast!
A podcast? So I can experience the spontaneous group storytelling of D&D without breaking my oath of solitude?
That's right.
And I can take part in a rich fantasy storyline without ever having to lay eyes on a disgusting human face?
Never again will the faces plague you.
And it has a cast of 4 female friends who make constant immature jokes as they play?
Absolutely. I would never lead you astray, my friend. Whether you love D&D or just love a good fantasy tale, Dames and Dragons is the podcast for you. Tells the story of 3 unlikely heroes who are chosen to become guardians of the goddess of their world, a floating island by the name of Estra.
By God, that sounds like something I could get into.
Sounds like something I'd love.
Sounds like something I'd make.
Well, that's just ridiculous. Dames and Dragons, updated every second Monday wherever podcasts are sold.